It's just something that just kind of lingers in the back of your mind, you know, until you finally get the information and knowledge that, man, that's a stupid idea. Hell, it's really stupid. Christianity is the only religion that has a hell that is supposedly going to torment souls for eternity. You mess up one time, and you're going to be tormented for eternity. Now, if you understood metaphysical principles, you'll know that that's not even logical and not even possible. You'll know that if you really, really understood metaphysical principles. That's, again, that's some of the stuff that I'm teaching in the classes. I'm teaching principles that are going to break you free from those ideas, because once you examine them from the truth of what these ideas are, a lot of this Christian crap doesn't stand up. You know, plain and simple, it doesn't stand up. Let's see here. And Emphatic Starseed says, is Christ consciousness here? You got to be a little, what do you mean by that? Is Christ consciousness here? Because from my perspective and from what I'm teaching as from the ancient perspective, we all have the ability to be a Christ. Christ is a title, not a person. Okay. Christ is a state of being, not a person. Okay. So do you have Christ consciousness? Yes. Everybody does. Everybody has the ability to be a Christ. And understand what being a Christ means is that you have the ability to become enlightened. Okay. So when the light bulb comes on, and I'm just using an analogy that we can understand today, what that ancient concept meant on a very simplistic level. Now, there is many nuances and levels to it, but the very simplistic aspect of that is just when the light bulb goes, oh, man, I get it. Oh, that's the Christ moment. And in that moment, you obtain the title of a Christ. It's no big lavish ceremony or anything like that. It's just the idea, and in all, well, many spiritual systems all have this idea and they call it something different, but it's the same concept. That moment that you just go, boop, oh man, I figured that out, you know. Now that's why I need to quit doing that, and it changes you. Okay, but that's a Christ moment. Is that Christ consciousness? Absolutely. And it's something very simple, very simple. Okay. Let's see here. Okay. Unless you are going to be cremated, everyone will go to hell. Hell is the grave. No, actually, Linda, the way that the ancients taught it, hell is where we are right now. The underworld, okay? And the ancients taught these ideas were from the perspective, because from the ancient perspective, the soul is the main character in all of its mythology, okay? From the comedic perspective, the soul is the main character. So all the teachings are from the perspective of what a soul goes through, okay? So when you say Osiris is the god of the underworld, is the way that most people talk about Osiris or Sar, okay? The god of the underworld. Well, what does that mean? What is Osiris? And on a very simplistic level, Osiris is the soul that is immersed in Earth, in our physical body. So it is the soul that is within us. That's what Osiris is, okay? So when from the perspective of the soul, the biblical mythology, say for instance the story of Egypt and Egypt was the symbolic representation of the physical, okay, of being in the physical. So that's one of the reasons why Egypt was the bad guy. And I did a video about that on my channel, so y'all can look that up. But that's why Egypt was seen as a bad guy. But from the perspective of the soul, like one of the stories was when Pharaoh was chasing the children of Israel, and the children of Israel were crossing the Red Sea. Well, Israel is Isis Ra-El. Isis Ra-El is Ra-El. Okay. So that the children of Israel represented a soul that was crossing over the Red Sea. Okay. So what could be the Red Sea? The Red Sea. Okay. The blood. So when the children are crossing over the Red Sea, they're crossing into and descending into a physical form. They're becoming physical. Okay. They're crossing the Red Sea. Okay. So again, all of the symbolism is from the ancient perspective of a soul. Okay. The original meaning of baptism, the body is 70% water. Okay. So when a soul crosses into physical form, another idea of that is that the soul is literally being baptized into physical form. That was the original meaning of a baptism. All right. So all this stuff that we get that Christianity has flipped and made it a physical perspective, it really robs us of the ability to understand the depth of these ideas and where they come from. Okay. So Christ consciousness, the soul. So when you're looking at stories in the Bible, the characters, the Christ is actually.
Hey, family, Reginald Martin here. Are you feeling stuck in life, struggling mentally to find direction and purpose after questioning your Christian beliefs? It's time for a breakthrough. Introducing Unapologetically You, a 3-month program for overcoming negative religious programming and living authentically. This is a one-of-a-kind life-changing coaching program tailored for those on the journey of breaking away from Christianity. My unique skills, knowledge base, and personalized guidance help you to unlearn the negative programming, reform your shattered beliefs, prioritize your own needs without feeling guilty or selfish, and unlock your potential to live life on your terms, and you can discover your true purpose. You can transform your life, throw off those mental shackles, and reach your true potential with Unapologetically You, a 3-month program for overcoming negative religious programming and living authentically. Ready to take that first step? Click the link in the video description to access my exclusive free video, packed with valuable insights to jumpstart your journey. Visit workwithreginaldmartin.com and begin the journey to living life on your terms. Back to the video.
It is the personification, okay? And just in English literature, if you talk about something that is a personification, is giving human characteristics to something, okay? So Jesus is actually the personification of the idea of a Christ, okay? So even the way we look at it, Jesus is the last, Jesus Christ, like Christ is the last name. It should be Jesus the Christ, okay? So, but Jesus is simply, back in those days, it was just a personification of the idea of becoming enlightened. So when they talked about death, they talked about someone being asleep or someone being drunk or someone, all these things are representative of people who are unaware. So death, sleep, being drunk, it is symbolic representations of somebody being unaware. So when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, it's really a symbolic representation or an analogy for somebody, or a metaphor for somebody becoming enlightened. Okay. So all these are all symbolic representations again of just the concepts that we're talking about. All right. So that's what a lot of these Bible stories have, an esoteric underlying meaning that are obscured because we're taught an exoteric perspective. Okay, so esoteric meaning that it has secret meaning for only a few. Exoteric meant that it was for the public. Okay, so when I say exo, I'm saying X E X rather than S O E S O. Okay. So exoteric and esoteric. So true comedic spirituality is about monotheism. And this is the difference. And this is what comedic spirituality taught. They taught the idea of anthropocosmos. Okay? That's a big word. But I'm going to break it down. Anthropocosmos simply means this. Mankind or humankind is the universe. Okay? Humankind, anthropocosmos says that humankind is the universe. Not only is it the universe, okay? Let me put that up here. So this is the definition. So anthropocosmos says man is the universe. Man is not the partial component, but the final product, the ultimate product. He is not a part of the all, but rather the all in its living expression. That's different right there than Christianity. We, in other words, Christianity says we're somehow different and God can send its different part to hell. But comedic spirituality says that we are the living expression of the all. We are the living expression of God. Okay? We're not different. We are the ultimate expression on this plane of existence. Humankind is the ultimate expression of God. And not only that, what we see as the universe outside of us is a reflection from within us. The universe, the stars, the planets, everything that we see is actually an individualized component of the essence of who we are. This is why astrology works so well. This is why you can get a birth chart reading and it means something to you. Because these planets and stars are a representation of us. Okay? These planets and stars are a representation of the essence of who we are. They're not out there. They are reflecting what's in here, okay? The laws that work in us are the same laws that work in the universe. There's no difference. So when we're talking about this, and I'm going back to the idea of who did our ancestors worship? If you have this perspective, that we are the ultimate form of God in this plane of existence. We are the ultimate form of the universe in this existence. Then why would we worship that which is outside of us when in reality it is what's in us? Okay, it is us being reflected back. Why would we reflect or why would we worship our essence? Because remember, worshiping something, a deity or something outside of ourselves, we have reverence for it. That's what worship is, okay? When we have reverence and adoration for something outside of ourselves. Why would we have adoration for that which is outside of us and worship it? The ancients didn't see it that way. So they did not worship. Okay, and Rawlicious, thank you for that $9.99. They did not worship something outside themselves. That is a religious notion. They understood that the universe, the stars, the planets, the moon, everything that we see outside of us is us. From within, it's the reflection, it's the essence of who we are. Okay. So I get sick and tired of hearing people that are saying they're talking about comedic spirituality or passing around memes that are not correct. They are not right. All they are is rehashing. All they're doing is rehashing religion. Comedic spirituality is not a religion. It's different completely. All the concepts. That's why I can talk about the concepts of Jesus and the concepts of Christ. I can talk about those concepts, but when you talk about them from a comedic spiritual stance and a comedic spiritual science, they are a different and more empowering concept. Okay? Let me see. I got some questions. I'm new at this, so I'm going back to a bizarre question. If Jesus Christ was not real, but Christ is, does that mean that angels are not real as well? Okay. So let me try to put this in a way that I know that, that people are really asking this question. Okay. So Jesus Christ as a physicalized person that walked the earth never existed. Never existed. Angels and the idea of angelic beings, we give the name of angels. And if you even asking the question like that, that tells me you have a Christian background. Okay. Or you are very aware of a Christian background. You have been immersed in a Christian society. Simply by the way that you ask that question, I know where you're coming from. And the reason that is because you have been taught ground. So when we're talking about angelic beings, these beings can be something that they have nothing to do with our idea of angels. They can exist, but they're not angels with wings floating around in heaven like we've been taught. But there are beings of light. They are beings that are not physical. Can they exist? Absolutely, positively. But if you don't know anything else and never experience anything else outside of Christianity, what if you experience a being like that, what are you going to call them? You cannot call them something that you have never thought about or don't know. So you're going to automatically put that experience in the context of your Christian background. And you're going to call it an angel. But it could be anything. It could be a number of things. So going back to the idea of Jesus being real, and this is what you have to understand, guys, is when you're talking to Christians and you tell them that Jesus doesn't exist, and they're arguing with you that Jesus existed, this is what they're saying in reality. Jesus has to exist because I experienced something. My experience was real. So therefore, Jesus has to be real, okay? But understand that they're putting it into the context of the idea that they know. Christianity has been taught that every spiritual experience is only because Jesus existed and they're a Christian. But in reality, they're saying that because my experience was real, Jesus had to be real. But if you think about it, Let's look at this analytically. How is it that you can experience a 2,000-year-old person that walked the earth today? How do you experience it? Only, well, because Jesus was real. He was a super, he was 2,000, that he lived 2,000 years. He was real. He was a super, you know, being. So we have to experience him, okay? But you can experience your loved ones that die and pass over. Yeah, you can experience them just like you're saying you experienced Jesus. So when you're saying Jesus, when you tell a Christian that Jesus is not real, to them, you are invalidating their own personal spiritual experience that they had of Jesus. That's what they think you're saying. Okay? Or that's what they think that you're taking away from them, is that you're invalidating and taking away that experience. Since if Jesus is not real, then my experience is not real. Well, they know that. They know that their experience was. But they've been taught to name that experience Jesus. A Muslim, a Buddhist, an atheist can have the same exact experience. But only one of them is going to call it Jesus. Everybody else is going to call it something else. I hope I'm making sense here. So it's really about It's really about the filter that we've been used to express these or taught to express these ideas. Okay. And Robert Creed says, I call them my ancestors. Would y'all believe me if I told you that the Creator God told me that Jesus isn't real? Okay. You know, so some people call them ancestors, some people call them angels, some people call but again, if you're taught one way to express these ideas, you're going to express them in that one way. And a lot of times Christians have no other concepts that they've been taught. They don't even allow for you to learn other concepts. It's against the Christian creed to go out and learn something else, something different. That means that you don't have faith. If you're searching for something else, that means you don't believe. Okay? So they have no other context. And I hope I'm making sense. Yep, they will. They will defend their religion and those concepts. Says, I grew up in a Catholic and Christian family my whole life, but always felt like the Bible had pieces missing, like it was altered. Thank you for answering my question. You're welcome, Red Rose. You are most welcome. But anyway, on with today's topic. So the experience of religion versus the ideal of religion. And this is what really got me started on this was today. I had this guy comment on one of my videos, and I was comparing Christianity to comedic spirituality. So this is what he said. Normally, I don't even read like Christian stuff a lot of times because first of all, they start off like ridiculous, and he started off pretty good, but then they just go into this world of like they can't even see their own biases, you know. And he ends up the same way. You can't even see your own biases in the way that you think. And it's just like, it's just no fun even trying to like talk to them or comment with their comment on their comments. And so this is what he said. So this guy was, so he wrote me. So this is what he said. So he says, so this is Chris J. Series was his name on the comment. He says, I watched your video and it was interesting. You made fair points about some of the arguments you made, but some of the arguments you made were kind of odd. Kind of odd, really? Okay. So in the Bible, and this is always interesting about this type of thought, because he goes to the Bible immediately. He doesn't say what I think or what my experience has been or anything. And you already know, like, the BS is getting ready to start. So he says, in the Bible, the will of God is something that is good, pleasing, and perfect. The God of the Bible, okay, the God of the Bible, not the one we experience, the God of the Bible, okay, says in Jeremiah that my ways are not your ways, as are my thoughts are not your thoughts. So in other words, dude, you don't know what I'm thinking, and you can't think that high, you know? So in other words, just sit down somewhere and quit trying to question me. Quit trying to question God. Okay, so that's what that kind of scripture says. I says to me. So he says God's will and plan for us. And I always wonder, how do they know what God's will is? How do you know when He's telling you what His will is? If He's somewhere out there, I mean, He ain't picking up the phone. How does He tell you? Where do you get this knowledge from of His will? Okay. Excuse me, Reginald, you're not really following my will, you know, and matter of fact, I might have to cut you out my will. So, you know, we're going to have to do something to you, son. Please. Okay. So God ain't calling you. So how are you figuring this out? Anyway. So God's will and plan for us isn't to give anyone harm, but peace, love, and anything good. So what happens with the people that the bad stuff happening to? Why is He not giving them the good stuff? Oh, because they're cursed. That's what it is. They're cursed and they ticked Him off. They sinned. They did something to tick Him off. So He's going to like make them like pay for it. Okay. So anyway, so submitting to that kind of will shouldn't be diminished just because you think submitting to a creator could be wrong. I never said submitting to a creator was wrong. Why would you even need to submit? You're part of the creator anyway. You are the creator in human form. Why do you need to submit to something outside yourself? So again, there's that bias, assuming that I think like he thinks, okay? Secondly, it's made clear in the Bible that Jesus is within us and that he has sent down his spirit to remind us of him and his word, etc. So he's within us, but then he needs to send his spirit down to remind us. If he is within us, why don't he just talk to us from within? Hello? Okay. All right. Back again. All right. All right. Baba Unk, what's going on, Baba Unk? So that's you, Justice and Truth? Gotcha. Yeah, that's what I used to teach my students in school. If they wanted to figure out why people were doing stuff, you know, follow the money. Who's making money from it? That's a good way to look at it. Why is it important that the dead rest in peace? Evan, I'm not sure what you asked. I mean, from a vibrational perspective, you want to be at peace and balanced. Otherwise, you're tying yourself to something or someone into the next incarnation. So that might be one reason. Okay. Let's see. Are prophecies in the Bible coming true today? No. Because all that stuff is, again, it's symbolic language. So people are just making it up as they go, like it's some kind of prophecy or something. You know, talk about the world is going to end. The world is not ending. How many times have we gone through that in the last 15, 20 years? It was supposed to end in 2000, from 1999 to 2000. But, you know, I was like Prince, partying like it's 1999, baby. I wasn't partying. But anyway, you know, remember, what was it, that computer glitch that was supposed to happen? Like, they were talking about planes were going to fall out the air and all kinds of shit around the year 2000. It's crazy stuff. And then there came, 2012, the end of the Mayan calendar. The world was supposed to end at the Mayan calendar. I mean, boy, Christian people were playing that one up big time, you know? What the hell are they looking at a Mayan calendar for? Why are they even worrying about astrology and all that stuff, you know? So Jesus' scripture says, I'll be with you till the end of the world. But it actually says the end of time or the end of an aeon, the end of an era, which was a astrologic era that the Bible and Christians have said that Jesus is going to be with you till the end of time. Okay. It's all misinterpretation of ancient Kemetic knowledge and symbolism. Okay. So the world is not ending, you know? So are the Bible prophecies coming? No. What we know as Bible prophecy is all symbolic. There's esoteric knowledge underneath that stuff. It's not literal at all. Judy Smith, what's going on? What's going on? Let's see. Let's see. Stephen Grilly says, to me, it makes more sense that it has thrown itself into ignorance in order for it to experience. So really, it's only remembering and not creating. It's tricky. Could be. So if you want to look at it that way, that's cool. Let's see. It's grounding. Appreciate your energy. If it wasn't for you, I would still be brainwashed. I appreciate that. Appreciate it. But I am only reminding you of what you know. That's all it is. I'm a representation of you. In a sense, I'm reminding you, and a lot of people are connecting with me because I'm reminding them of who they are, plain and simple. So you are literally waking yourself up, because I can give this knowledge and information to plenty of people, flies right over their head. They don't even want to hear it. They do not wake up. I don't have the power to wake somebody up. Only they can do that for themselves. And you have to be the person to accept the knowledge and use it for yourself. Okay? So pat yourself on the back for waking up. Give yourself credit for taking the knowledge and using it and waking yourself up. That's really what it's about, guys. Really and truly. I appreciate the acknowledgement, but the power is in you. And all of you. The power is in you. Let's see. There is a difference between Jesus and Christ. In this screencast, I want to address the idea of the difference between Jesus and Christ. Moving forward, you will unlearn the elementary school religious level of believing in Jesus Christ to the more elevated conscious level of becoming a Christ. The first thing you will have to come to terms with is that Jesus never existed. He was a fabrication of the Catholic Church that needed to validate the hierarchy of the church for political purposes and power. I know for those of you that have been immersed in the worldview of Christianity, to state that Jesus never existed is an insane statement and probably coming from someone that has to be delusional and an absolute idiot. But I can assure you that I am none of those things, and if you take the time to investigate for yourself, you will come to the same conclusions. The evidence is irrefutable when you know where to look. The elevated level of understanding is that there is a difference between Jesus and Christ. I must make a public service announcement up front. Christians, you cannot equate faith to facts when your only proof that Jesus existed is from the Bible and you are taught to accept the Bible without question and without any investigation on your part. Because you believe does not make Jesus a fact. As Christians, when we went through a spiritual experience, we were taught that it was because of our belief in Jesus. We were taught that the experience is only due to actually connecting to Jesus, which only happens by being a faithful Christian and believer. In other words, someone that has accepted Jesus without ever checking for themselves. Isn't that really the religious definition of faith? Acceptance without proof? To say Jesus never existed to a believer means that they must deny what they have experienced while believing. It never occurs to them that the experience they are having is a natural human experience of connecting to their spirit while in flesh. Because of the indoctrination, Christians have been taught to associate any inner experience with Jesus. No matter what happens, it's because they are experienced the God-man that supposedly walked the earth named Jesus. Therefore, if he never existed, then it's denying their very real spiritual experience. So here's an elevated understanding of the Jesus experience. Everything you felt was very real. Anyone's inner subjective experience is the most real and relevant experience in the universe. It's the outward objective experience that is the projection of the inner experience. It's the illusion that the ancients teach. Because Jesus never existed doesn't invalidate the subjective inner experience. But for a Christian, the belief is that one cannot exist without the other. In truth, the ancient idea of Christ was about the inner subjective experience. It was the name of a principle that existed within all humankind. When one reaches their Christ state, it is a recognition that they have elevated their consciousness in a way that allows them to connect to their God-Goddess self. To the ancients, one aspect of Christ is the ability to elevate beyond being controlled by our human emotions. I don't want to imply that human emotions are negative. What I'm saying is that when we elevate to our level of Christhood, we gain the ability to step back from an event, person, or situation so that we can systematically observe, measure, and experiment with different ways to handle them, so that we can formulate a hypothesis, test and modify our observations, and therefore change our behavior. This is what the ancient Africans would call spiritual science. It is the scientific method applied to spirituality. In religion, it is no more than superstition. The great Stevie Wonder would say, "When you believe in things you don't understand, then you suffer. Superstition ain't the way." Jesus is an erroneous idea that one must live through vicariously. As a Christ, it is about the wisdom you gain through your personal experience. When you elevate to a Christ, you sit on the throne of your creaturehood and become the Lord of your physical world. You don't freak out about things happening in the world any longer because you realize your true power in any scenario. Now, I have to be honest and say that once I professed that I was no longer a believer, I didn't want the Bible to be relevant in my life anymore. I studied to help others to get beyond the confining religious ideas and expand spiritually. But after many years of study, I have come full circle. I still struggle with what I'm about to share with you next. No, I'm not a believer and never ever will be again. But when I examine the Bible for what it truly is, as allegories based on the mythology of ancient Egypt, it becomes relevant again in a more powerful and enlightening way. Let's quickly dissect the biblical miracle to explain to you what I mean by becoming relevant. In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 18, Jesus is walking on water in a storm. We've been taught that this was a miracle to believe in and have faith that it really occurred. It is supposed to be an example of the power that Jesus had as God, that he could do things that normal human beings couldn't. The truth is, no man can walk on water literally. However, recognizing the story as was intended as an allegory makes it very relevant even in modern times. Here's what I mean. In ancient symbolism, water can be a symbol for emotions. The miracle of Jesus walking on water is simply a story that is coded to express the example of an idea that is part of all humanity. And that idea is that you can rise above the storm of your emotions. In that moment of enlightenment, you become a Christ. The light within you comes on and it causes you to elevate consciously. Through enlightenment, you become more aware and rise in consciousness. This is where understanding the difference between the elementary historical idea of Jesus and the elevated concept of Christ will make a huge difference in your spirituality. The original metaphysical or spiritual concept was never meant to be made a flesh and blood man as the great exception to all humanity. Even in ancient times, men fought the Catholic Church over this interpretation, but the politics and military might of the Roman Empire won out. I could go much deeper, but I'm wanting to keep this video as short as possible, but give you some ideas to consider on your journey beyond religion to spirituality. You don't have to fear leaving the idea of Jesus will leave you empty and wanting. On my membership site, I do have e-courses that go much deeper in deciphering the allegories by helping you decipher the Egyptian mythology and connect them to the Bible stories. But I also teach you the practical application based on the ancient teachings that the church left off. As the great Stevie Wonder said, superstition ain't the way. Thank you for listening. I will put a link to my membership site in the video description below. You can sign up for free to become a member. When you sign up, there are very insightful articles and videos that you can gain access to. If you choose to take a course, you will gain knowledge that is unique, documented, and relevant to your spiritual advancement. Thanks again for listening. Subscribe to my channel and like the video, then head over to KometicCenteredLiving.com. This is Reginald Ku Akaru signing off.
All right. Was Moses Akhenaten? Melvin, they could have been, Moses could have been a compilation of things, but usually the name actually is more of a, in the ancient terms, the names were more of a vibrational construct. So when you say the names, you literally vibrate particular synapses in the brain and stuff. And those names actually were like, they could use them for chants, okay? And those chants would activate different brain synapses, okay? So like Atum, Amun, Isis, not Isis, I'm sorry, Osset, Asar. So all these were like, they were vibrational construct. We think of them as names of netters, but really they were more like, they were more about the sound of the name, okay? And having the ability to possess the power of that name, okay? If you understood the vibrational construct, then you could actually possess the power of that name. That's why people say even today, there's power in the name of Jesus. Well, that comes from the ancient African idea that the names or the words actually had a vibrational construct. Okay, so that's so people who think that, you know, there's a Jesus has a particular name, or there's power just because you say it's Jesus, a lot of Christians think it's just in the context because they're Christian and they believe in Jesus, that that's where the power comes from. Well, that's not quite the case. All right, Noah Hadley, man, you Big Bang Hank today. Says, gave $10. He says, I just have to do this one last to make everyone laugh. The first thing that should make people question their English Bible is that there is a guy named Timothy in ancient Palestine. So Timothy, okay, okay. Timothy in ancient Palestine, cool. Very cool, very cool. Wonder what he did. Tiny Tim? No, I don't know. Yeah. Tiptoe through the tulips. Okay, anyway. Let's see. Let's see. Alethea Gibson says, what's your take on the book Meet Your Straw Man and Whatever You Want to Know? Never heard of it. So I can't give you a take on that, but never heard of it. Don't know what it's about. Let's see. Oh, dang it. Do you think that the Bible misinterpreted the seven sins for the seven chakras or netters? No, I don't. Some of the stuff too that was put into the New Testament was just purely Christian religious hogwash. Okay. So the seven sins is something that they really made. And actually, the seven sins are not biblical. So if you actually look it up, gluttony, pride, I forget the other ones, but those are actually not biblical. So just like hell is not biblical. The Trinity is not biblical. So that they take a lot of ideas and then they put their own spin on it. And a lot of that stuff came into being when during the early Catholic Church, people didn't read. Most people in society couldn't read. And even today, in the Catholic Church, they usually don't like go through and like in the Protestant churches, we actually went through the Bible and read scriptures in church and stuff like that. Well, in the Catholic Church, a lot of times they don't do it like that. The priest has this message. Everybody receives the message and then, go home, after Mass. So imagine 1,000 years of doing it like that, where people didn't read and the priest could just basically tell them anything. So a lot of doctrines came into being during that time that had nothing to do with what was actually in the Bible. So the reason that there was even a Protestant Reformation was when people did start to read the Bible, they realized that there was a lot of stuff that the Catholic Church was teaching that wasn't biblical. When they started to translate the Latin Vulgate, they started to translate the Latin Vulgate into different languages. And actually, the Catholic Church said it was a sin to do that. Imagine that. What? Translate the Vulgate into another language? Then people will know what the fuck we're really talking about, that it ain't true. And so, no, we can't do that. We can't have that. Oh, let's make it a sin. Okay. So they started trying to tell people not to translate the Latin Vulgate. Well, of course, people did it anyway. Okay. So the King James Bible was the first English translation of the Latin Vulgate. And once they translated that and the Protestant Reformation started, because first Martin Luther was like, man, what? Wait a minute. Latin Vulgate says this and then the Bible says it. Wait a minute, this ain't even in the Bible what they tell. What the, And he said, no, dude, we're not down for the Catholic Church anymore. So we're going to start our own deal. So he started the Lutheran religion. OK, so all of that stuff, a lot of stuff that you'll find that we're taught as doctrine is literally not biblical. Even the idea that Jesus came for the sins of Adam and Eve and to wash away our sins because of what they did, you will not find that in the Bible where Jesus says that anywhere. So the idea that he came to absolve us of the sins of Adam and Eve, you will not find that in the Bible, okay? That is strictly the Catholic Church making shit up to fit their needs, okay? So all that came about. Even the idea that Jesus being made God and man, that didn't happen till 300 years after the supposed death of Jesus, okay? So that wasn't decided on until the Council of Nicaea in 324 AD, okay? So they basically said Jesus was God and man, okay? So a lot of that stuff, again, if Christians checked into the history of their religion, they'll see a lot of it is just complete bullshit. But of course, you don't do that, because if you start to question religion, of course, then you are your faith is shaky. And if you got shaky faith, then that means you're a shaky Christian. And if you're a shaky Christian, you're going to hell, okay? So you can't be a shaky Christian, so you got to have strong faith and believe. All belief is an opinion. I can believe that the sky is like turquoise or green, okay? Somebody can tell me that, and I say, oh, yeah, I can believe that. You're just offering your opinion. That's all belief is. And that's where most Christians stand with that. So if they actually checked out their religion, they will find that a lot of the stuff that they've been taught, that we were taught as Christians, just wasn't true. Okay? So that's the truth of the matter.
Hey, good morning, family. This is Reginald Kuakaru. And I hope that you are making your day an amazing one. I wanted to talk today about an idea that, it's kind of like it's annoying. And this is this idea that people want to talk about. There is a difference between Jesus and Yeshua. Okay? And I will make a video about something about Jesus and Jesus not existing and not being a historical person. And then invariably, somebody will make a comment, well, yeah, Jesus might not have been historical, but Yeshua was historical. And I'm like, this goes to the crux of why I do not deal with debate and debating people, because so often ignorant people don't know that they're ignorant, and they want to debate something as if they know it, you know? And a lot of times with Christians and people that believe in Jesus as a historical individual, they think that their faith is fact. They want to equate faith with fact. And understand that really what they're doing is, what they have is an opinion. And an opinion is based on an idea that is no more than a judgment that doesn't have any facts attached to it, okay? It's a judgment or a belief that doesn't have any facts attached to it. That's an opinion, and that's what faith is. Now, I'm gonna say this about faith. If you have strong faith and it works for you in your life, and it uplifts you and moves you and empower you, then you do not need any facts to prove your faith. They are unnecessary and irrelevant. But if you want to convince me of Jesus and the reality of Jesus, then you're going to need something more than your doggone faith to tell me that, or to make me believe in Jesus, okay? And I want to say that to say this, I was a Christian. I believed just like you did, but I got information that told me something different beyond faith. I got facts because I researched, okay? And I had the courage to research, all right? And find out the truth about it. So, a person that wants to argue Yeshua and Jesus as something different has no clue about the science of etymology, okay? Which is the science of the study of words, all right? So they have no clue or maybe they do. I don't know. But English, the English word Jesus didn't exist until the 1500s, you know, the 16th century, because there was no English before then. So the name Jesus, or the idea of Jesus, has existed just in Christendom for at least 2,000 years, okay? So if the name wasn't Jesus before then, the English name Jesus did not exist until the 1600s or the 1500s, what was it called before then? Well, you find that out through the science of etymology, that you can research that word. So the name Jesus comes from, or is a cognate of, the Egyptian word Yehusha, okay? And understand what a cognate is. It's kind of like if a word had children and grandchildren, then the cognates are the children and grandchildren, the words that descended from that ancient word, okay? And Jesus descended, or is a descendant of the word Yehusha, okay? You will find that this word also passed through different languages. And as it passes through different languages, there might be different variants in the spelling of that name and different variants in the pronunciation of the name because of the tongue being used. For instance, if I said the word color in English, if there are Asian languages that do not have an L in their language, so they cannot even pronounce the term color, they will say color, okay? Going from African languages. African languages, a lot of them do not have the pronunciation of a TH, like the, okay? So in African languages, to say the, they will say duh. So you'll see a lot of times in African Americans and other people of African descent, they will say the man instead of the man, okay? Now, it's interesting because in French, the TH sound is not there either. So they say the man. Now, the man, ooh, that sounds sexy. But duh, man, damn, can't you pronounce your language right? You know? But anyway, I digress. But check that out. So Yehusha became, and the Y and I were interchangeable because the Y, I, and J are interchangeable across languages, okay? Because they basically pronounce the same sound, but just had a different letter to use that. So Yehusha, spelled I-U-S-A, the origin of the, or is has Egyptian origin. In Hebrew, that word became Yeshua, okay? And the SH was put in there because of a pronunciation, and there was a specific reason that the SH was put in there, but I don't want to get into that right now. But the in Greek, the word became Jesus, which was spelled I-E-S-O-U-S, I believe it was. In Latin, it was spelled I-E-S-U-S, okay? Also in Greek, it became Zeus, Z-E-U-S. Check it out. That Greek god is after is named after the idea of Jesus, okay, in ancient times. But if you don't know etymology, you will not catch that, okay? So just because you change the name or change the spelling does not mean that you're talking about a different concept or a different person. It's just the names didn't exist in ancient times. The English names that we have now didn't necessarily exist in ancient times, but you can trace them, okay? So don't come talking about Yeshua and Jesus were different. No, same person or same idea. It wasn't a person. Same idea in ancient times, but just spelled differently because it passed through different languages and different cultures. That was all. But the idea still remains the same. And it was not a historical person. So please don't come to me with your ignorance. And I mean that, and I'm not trying to be derogatory, but ignorance simply means you don't know. Do some research. Your faith is not facts. Okay? Do some research first. The whole idea for me is not to debate with people, because I want people to connect with this channel that are looking for and want to go deeper with these ideas and knowledge, who want to expand consciously, not argue and debate, because it is a waste of time. Okay? It is a waste of time. So don't. If you're here because you want more knowledge to further your spiritual development, to further learn ways to really enjoy living life, because you don't become more spiritual without going through the physical first, you know? You want harmony, you know, rather than debate. That's the people that are here. That's who I'm talking to. I don't care to debate you people who, if you believe what you believe, then, and it's working for you in your life, then please go with it. But don't try to change my mind. Because really and truly, the only reason that you want to debate with me is because you got some doubt and you got to convince me to convince yourself. That's really where it's coming from. I don't need convincing that Jesus never existed. I know, I study, I research, but I know that there is a deeper layer to the idea, because so many people think that if Jesus, I say that Jesus never existed, that means that I'm dismissing their internal experience of what they call Jesus. Understand, I'm not dismissing your experience. I know the inner experience was real. But what you have been taught to call it is you have been given a Christian frame and taught to call it and name it a certain thing. And you've been told to name every inner experience that you have as something related to Jesus, and that you can only have that experience because you are a Christian. It's not true. I have those experiences. Okay? I have had those experiences. I was a Christian. I'm not. I don't believe it, because the religion is negative and oppressive to the soul. And I'm saying to you that just because a name has changed or a word has changed does not negate the facts. Your faith is not facts. It's based on an opinion because you have not researched it. All you do is believe because of tradition. Or if you do research, you research to confirm your beliefs and not to find truth. Okay? That's the reason why a lot of people research something. I don't understand how otherwise extremely intelligent people can have faith in something and never research it. I was a school teacher for a long time, and if I gave a person or gave the class an assignment to do some research on something and bring back a paper and write a paper, there is no way in hell that I would accept a paper that only used one source, that only had one source as the foundation of all of its research, okay? Because the paper would be biased. Teachers know this, but yet they will take one book and base their whole life and cram it into this one book as if it is the only source of true knowledge and information. Come on now. Is that even logical? You know that there's many other books that exist that have good information in it. Okay? But I digress, you know. Point is, faith is not facts, and know the science and study of etymology and understand what a cognate is. And again, a cognate is simply a word that is a descendant of a more ancient word. Okay? It's like the child or grandchild of an ancient word or great-grandchild. Okay? It's passed a lot of times. It passes through different languages. Yeshua and Jesus are though or is a cognate. Both are a cognate. Similar words are Joshua. Okay? Joshua, Jesus, Yeshua, all cognates and derivatives of the same word. Okay? The same ancient word, which is Yehusa. It's spelled I-U-S-A. And it means the ever-coming sun. Okay? Yehu the Sa. Or Yehu the Su. Okay? That's where the word Jesus comes from. Look it up. Research it. Research what it means. Now, isn't Jesus always coming back? The ever-coming sun, Yehusa, ever-coming Jesus coming back. Huh? Okay, anyway. All right, guys, this is Reginald Kouakarou. I'm signing out, and y'all have an amazing day. And here at KCL, you learn how to live life boldly, authentically, unapologetically, and on your terms without guilt and shame. People will tell you about spirituality, but I teach you how to spirituality. All right? All right, guys, y'all have an amazing day.